Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the New Testament book of Luke. Now to Pastor Chris.
Luke chapter 6 on Through the Word, with one of the greatest sermons ever given from the most effective teacher of all time. Jesus was a preacher, and as good as they get. Here in Luke 6, it is not the famous Sermon on the Mount, but the Sermon on the Plain. A lot of the content is similar to the Sermon on the Mount, but there are some key differences throughout. Like every traveling preacher, Jesus repeated his messages, with some modifications. Before that, we have three short stories, including an important decision for Jesus that required some amount of prayer at verse 12. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. Jesus prayed all night before he chose the apostles, just 12 of them. Their names are listed in verses 14 through 16. Now, there's a difference between a disciple and an apostle. A disciple is a follower, someone who becomes like his leader. Many were disciples, but only 12 were chosen to be apostles. The word apostle means sent one. These 12 men have been following Jesus and learning to live and love like Christ. Now they would be chosen to lead, and they would be sent out into the world to bring the good news. Next up is Jesus' Sermon on the Plain. It starts with a slightly different version of the Beatitudes at verse 20. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven." Now, all four of these blessings have something in common. There's a little bit of suffering now and a big payoff later. That's the journey of faith. After that, there are four woes. Woe is a warning, the opposite of a blessing. At verse 24, "But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for that is how their fathers treated the false prophets." Each of the woes provides the antithesis for the four blessings. There's a little bit of comfort and ease now, but a lot of hard times down the road. Don't be fooled by temporary prosperity or the praise of man. Seek God's approval and seek the blessings that last. Moving on to verse 27, Jesus delivers a profound challenge to love. "But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic." The call to love is not an easy one. It's always right to love your neighbor, but don't pat yourself on the back for being nice to your friends. Every Christian is called to love no matter how they are treated in return. At verse 32, Jesus says, "If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that." In my younger days, I got mixed up in a new kind of party called raves. There were a lot of drugs, but that didn't mean much to me. What attracted me was how nice everyone was to each other. I called them the hippies of the 90s. But in time, I discovered that this drug-induced friendliness was a very selfish kind of love. I love you because it makes me feel good. Too often the love went cold when the drugs wore off. Hey, even gang members love those who love them back. Jesus gives us a much higher calling, a love where the only reward comes from God himself. At verse 35, he says, "But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." Next up, Jesus gives us another lesson in treating others the way we want to be treated. At verse 37, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you." Now, do not judge doesn't mean you should just let sin go. If your friend is destroying his life, try to stop him. But don't look down on him. Help him. At verse 41, he says, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take that speck out of your eye," when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye, you hypocrite? This one is a lesson for all of us Christians who just love to tell everyone else what they're doing wrong, while we ignore all of our own faults. Hey, hypocrite, Jesus says the other guy's problem is a speck, and you have a big old 2x4 glued to your face. It's not that you shouldn't help your friend. It's that if you try to help with that wood stuck to your face, you're going to hurt someone. First, take the plank out of your own eye so that you can see, and then maybe help with a little bit of humility. Before Jesus finishes his sermon, he gives us a little lesson on fruit. Fruit is the part of the tree that you can see and taste. Fruit always pictures the outward evidence in your life of what's really going on the inside. In verse 43, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. Jesus just finished teaching us how to live and love like he does. But you'll never get this right unless your heart is good. But if your heart is wicked, you'll never make it. You just can't fake the fruit. So often I hear people say, "I know he does bad things, but his heart is really good." No, if they do bad things, it comes from a bad heart. The lesson, you can't change your fruit until you let God change your heart. Finally, Jesus closes the sermon with a challenge to live it. At verse 46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" In other words, if you're not obeying Jesus' words, don't call him Lord and don't call yourself a Christian. At verse 47, "I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but it could not shake it because it was well built." Read Luke chapter 6 today and build your house on a foundation of rock. Love your enemy, forgive and do not condemn. Help your friend who's fallen into sin with humility and not condemnation. Bear good fruit from the good heart that only Jesus can give you.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free and free to share, so tell your friends and take the journey together. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries in Diamondhead, Mississippi. You can find information and links for all of our teachers on the website. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.